Hello, and welcome to the test of the emergency broadcast system, Legends of Philadelphia. We're your host. I'm Tony Tivo Trove, and this is my schoolyard chum, Johnny Jump the Shark Zito. Joining us on editing duties is Brian Scrambled Pornography Bierman.
You would write that.
Edit it out. You might be wondering, will this rot my brain? Well, in addition to being Philly natives, Zito and I have a lifestyle brand, South Fellini, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes and comfort and podcasts and sitting too close to the TV. Lots of times, customers will ask us, why isn't there a cheesesteak channel? Or they want to know why it's so hard to close caption the Philly accent. So we decide
It's impossible.
So we decided to start a podcast, this podcast, as an easy explainer for the new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with yous. All right, this is take 10, so I hope I read that correctly.
Oof. We were just, when we started this podcast.
It was technical difficulties. It wasn't because I didn't know how to read. It was technical difficulties, just saying. Everybody at home wondering.
If there's an uptick in the ticker noise, it's...
That's right, because I'm doing the levels now, so I'm going to be slightly louder than everybody.
And I'm going to be editing...
Editing the laugh track for me. Ah! Another great joke.
Or like, ooh.
Ooh.
When somebody would talk back to somebody.
Yeah.
And I guess you guys got me this windscreen because I'm always spitting on the microphone.
You're always...
That's right.
So hopefully this alleviates that.
Zito has a fancy microphone also.
Yeah.
So we're back.
Welcome to the future.
Moving on up, hopefully.
After 3,000 episodes, we finally got real... audio equipment.
We've been on for 14 years.
14 years.
Whole generations have been born and died in the time we've been podcasting.
And conceived to our podcast.
Number one podcast for boning. That's what they say about Legends of Philadelphia.
It's a very...
No, they don't. Nobody says that.
People are saying it. I've heard people saying it.
My ears to the street.
Ears to the street.
We should probably talk about, we're going to just mention it as just because it's a factual thing and we can't jinx anybody or do anything, but the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl and they're playing the Chiefs.
I wanted to do an Eagles episode. I wanted to do an Eagles episode and we could have been talking about the 2005 or 2016 Eagles or whatever. And
we jinxed the Sixers. We jinxed the, the Phillies one, that was the Oregon player. But the other one, so we're just saying it's happening, and it's happening. We know it's happening, and we're not jinxing anything.
And if you want to get a T-shirt or a hat to support the home team, you can swing by South Fellini at 1507 East Passyunk Avenue in beautiful South Philadelphia, Thursdays through Sundays, 12 to 5. Visit the website, southfellini.com.
Yeah, breaking news. We actually have a store, not just a podcast.
So. See, I knew you were going to use it. We're not even 5 minutes into it.
So I don't care about 5-star reviews anymore. We gotta sell some T-shirts. Don't leave us reviews. Come to the store. Get a sticker.
Say it to our face.
Say it to our face. Stop us on the street. If you see Bierman... stop them and say, hey, I enjoy your podcast.
People do. Where they throw a long hot.
In protest or
in
support?
In our culture, that's a sign of appreciation.
Okay. Yeah, so we're just not going to jinx it. We're not going to do an Eagles episode.
Don't even say the name of the bird that is performing in 2 weeks.
The birds who shall not be named. Are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure.
I got shit on by a bird today.
That's right, you did.
That's good luck. All
right, just to bring it up, CVS. It's all those birds by CVS.
I never noticed. I always have my headphones on.
It's a bird shit roulette. You got to walk by. Maybe you'll get hit. Maybe you won't.
Now I know.
It's a dangerous intersection.
And it's worth it because the halal truck is right there. And it's my favorite restaurant on Passyunk Avenue, the halal truck outside CVS. Prove me wrong. Someone prove me wrong. It's the best. It's the best.
Buy us gift certificates to every restaurant.
Kebabs. Great.
I don't have a segue. I'm just going to get right into it. Back in the 90s, it seemed like every block had at least one person with an illegal cable connection that granted them access to pay-per-view events, premium content, and adult movies. These devices were known as hot boxes most everywhere else in the United States, but in Philadelphia, we called it the chip, and it was the worst-kept secret in the city. Join us as we go channel surfing on Philly's illegal airwaves.
Wait, the chip is a local colloquialism? Like, people don't say the chip in other cities?
No, people do not. Or they might say it in, I found some places.
It's like how we say gravy, and so do people in, like, Jersey. And
it looks like out in L.A., in certain places in California, they called it the chip. But in Jersey, New York, most of the East Coast, they called it the hot box. And we'll get into why, but
I've heard it as the chip, but I would refer to it as the hot box, like the actual box that you would hook up as the hot box, which I guess had a chip also.
There's chips in all of those cable boxes.
Yeah.
I thought it had something to do with like potato chips.
Like, well, you're eating chips while you're watching pornography.
I never really got. I knew what it was when I was a kid. We didn't have the chip or a hot box at my house, but my neighbor had a chipped cable box, and he would have everybody on the block over for pay per view events and things like wrestling and stuff like that.
Wrestling,
yeah. So he would be like, "Oh, I got the chip! I got the chip!" And I guess I took it for granted what that meant, but I was like one of those I don't know what that means, and I'm too afraid to ask at this point. Kind of situations. And so I never really asked why it was called the chip. And I always, in my head, when something's chipped, it's like locatable, it's accessible, it's, you know.
Like a dog.
Yeah, it's retrievable.
Like a dog.
Yes. So to call something, to say that this is a chipped box, felt, you know, backwards to me. Did either of you guys have a hot box?
My grandparents had it. And I mentioned another episode before. And yes, pay-per-view specials, wrestling, movies that came out the year before. What what did it have? Was it like all the channels? Like, did it give you like HBO and Prism?
Yeah,
too?
It gave
was
you
that,
everything. It, yeah. Yeah.
Even Prism.
Even Prism? Mm-hmm. Even Prism?
Especially Prism.
The greatest local channel. Local paid channel.
We got to do an episode on that someday.
Yeah, we had one as a kid, and I called. I was talking to my dad because I was trying to figure out how he got it, and he thinks he knew somebody. He worked at American Appliance, and he thinks he knew somebody who like got us it.
Remember that movie Cable Guy? Like, that's the whole plot of the movie.
Yeah, he's giving him the illegal hookup.
He gives him like illegal cable, so you just gotta like ask nicely to your cable. God.
Yeah, you got to give them $50.
$50 and let them torture your life. I guess that was the plot of the movie. So I guess that's how it. I guess it's like Comcast produced that movie to warn people not to. Or Greater Media Cable.
some propaganda.
Greater Media, like let's scare people into not doing this.
Right. It's a
Jim Carrey is going to talk to you all the time. Like, dude,
Cablevision
so annoying, parable. Go away. Leave me alone. Enough with the impressions. They're not as cute as you think. We get it. You're Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, we had one for like when I was a kid, and then that's how I watched like wrestling and all because we could watch because my parents were gonna pay $30 or whatever.
$30 for wrestling? Come on.
And we watched like all the boxing when, you know, boxing was huge in the 90s and like the Tyson fights and shit. And we would have like our neighbors and our friends, like people.
Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson fights and illegal cable boxes. Name a more iconic duo.
Yeah.
I guess primarily I had, like I said, I had a friend down the street who had it. And I think primarily I used it to see rated R movies as a young kid. I got to see a bunch of content that I never would have been able to rent or see in the theater without my parents knowing about it. But going down the street and just putting on pay-per-view, we got to see, you know, Terminator 2.
Terminator 2, I was just going to see that.
Never saw Terminator 1, but I definitely saw Terminator 2 1,000 times as a little kid.
Yep. Yep.
Butnick is in it. I mean, it was practically a kid's movie.
That's true. It was practically made for children.
he was the character from Salute Your Shorts from Nickelodeon.
Yep.
For all the non-millennials, non-elder millennials.
And then I remember there was a time where we, like, I don't know why. I don't know if it stopped working or something, or, like, we didn't have it for a while. And we bought another one on eBay in, like, 97.
Wow.
When, like, dang. eBay.
Back when you could buy cocaine off of eBay.
And bears. Wild animals.
Illegal. Yeah. Tigers.
And then we had it again, and it was just like, I was looking at the old ones that I had. It was General Instrument. That's who made it. And Zito, you were talking about the remote.
Yes.
Like the gold remote.
Yes.
Gold remote. And remember, like, the sticker on the back of the remote that had all the channels listed?
Yep.
This is a weird nostalgic episode. Yeah.
It sounds like 8,000 years ago.
I mean, even the technology, I mean, what you said, like, loop, like, shows all day, you know? Like,
yeah,
there's right. Pay-per-view channels. And it would just give you, like, a window of time where you were, like...
allowed access.
Had access to it. Yeah, it's such a, like, a different kind of technology, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure none of this stuff sounds that interesting or to anyone who grew up in the streaming era. But back in the day, like, the streaming is what we dreamed of. This, like, pay-per-view idea where you could tune in and this thing would be playing, this movie, this event would be playing nonstop and you could watch it at your discretion was, a very futuristic idea that we had yet to achieve. And I don't know, it was a big deal to have access to that, to have access to all these movie channels, to get all this content.
I need my Comedy Central.
I want my MTV. No, I want my Comedy Central.
I need my Kids in the Hall reruns in the morning.
Kids in the Hall reruns.
And then I need them again.
Chicken Lady.
Late in the afternoon.
Your head guy, come on.
It was great. And now I feel like, I don't know, if I go on Netflix, it's like there's like too much stuff and I don't want to pick. And I still just watch Seinfeld for like the millionth time.
Yo, I sent you guys a Seinfeld meme while I was waiting for my computer to restart.
Oh, I saw it.
You saw it.
So real quick, just because I forgot how like stealing cable was like such a big thing in the culture of that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So there's a Seinfeld episode and a Simpsons episode where they both steal cable.
Absolutely.
It seems so irrelevant now. It seems so like...
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So Kramer tells Jerry it's a one-time fee for $150. And they're talking... I meant to look this up, but they're talking about like... Kramer's like, there's a cable dispute between the companies and they're never going to fix it. So was that going on in like New York at the time?
It was going on in Philadelphia too. In most major cities, when cable television came to the cities, they were the city government divided the contract among three or four bidders.
Yeah, because you were saying you had Greater Media Cable.
In our neighborhood, it was called Greater Media Cable, yeah.
I think we had Comcast in Port Richmond. I think that's what we had.
Comcast might have been Greater Media Cable by a different name. It might have just been what they were called. But there was also Cablevision in Philadelphia.
Oh.
The thing I always remember about Greater Media Cable is that this place that its home base was like on Delaware Avenue across the street from the movie theater. And eventually Comcast bought it and they still just use that old dumpy building.
Yeah.
Like they're like a multi-billion dollar company. And they still use that old dump over there.
You still go down there to pay your bill and complain.
Yeah, you have. That's where you drop off your like cable
your box.
Then.
Yeah,
it's the same
and it's
place.
Like Greater Media, like years ago.
It's just a one floor shack, and
yeah.
Now it has an NBC logo on it because Comcast owns NBC.
And then the Simpsons episode is it's Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment, and Ned Flanders is yelling at the cable guy. So Homer goes out there because Ned wanted to get some new arts and crafts network on cable. So he was buying cable, but the cable guy, who's Phil Hartman.
I really wish there was an arts and craft network.
Yeah.
I know they're trying to make fun of, they're trying to make fun of Flanders, but I think that would be kind of cool.
Where they just like make stuff with like popsicle sticks and glue.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds fun.
That does sound fun. Do you remember what season this was in?
Yes, it's season two.
Oh, wow. That's early, huh?
And then Lisa learns about hell in Sunday school and thou shalt not steal. And so she's like pressuring Homer. And then the other reason why they get rid of it at the end is because Bart keeps watching porn. And he
really? I don't remember this at all.
He invites all the kids in the house to, and then Homer comes in, and there's like 20 kids running away. And, but yeah, Homer invites everybody to come watch the fight. It's Frederick Tatum.
Oh,
which is
you're
just the
right. I remember that. Right. That's so funny.
And Homer cuts the line after the game, but or after the fight, but he waits outside with Lisa and doesn't watch it.
Yeah, and Bart's begging him not to cut it, and he's like, there's Atlanta Braves baseball, because they showed TBS. And the Seinfeld thing, how Kramer gets Jerry to like, sign off on it, he says there's 75 Mets games on cable this year. Which, like, was a big deal back then. Now every game, you know, you can watch every MLB.
Well, they talk a lot about blackout games in baseball and how it ruins baseball. Like, because so many people can't watch it in their hometowns, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think Bryce Harper was even going on about it and how it's, like, hurting the game and young people can't. Or it's not accessible to everyone. And baseball is supposed to be accessible to the whole country. It's America's game, you know?
They better watch out or some people might start stealing it.
Maybe there's some like illegal streams on the internet that you could just watch a sporting event, something like that.
Possibly.
You're saying that exists? You saying that happens? What was that kid we used to follow? Me and you, Bierman. We used to follow. He hated Comcast. And he would stream every game.
AC Lee or something.
AC
like that.
Lee.
And then he stopped doing it. So
He streamed every game. He hated Comcast, like a college student. And he was like untraceable, and he would just like stream all these games. I'm not riding him out. He quit.
He quit the biz.
Quit the biz.
Well, back in the late 80s and the early 90s, theft of cable television was endemic. In older analog cable systems, most cable channels were not encrypted, and cable theft was only a matter of plugging your TV into a coaxial cable possibly left behind at a residence that you had just moved into. So all you had to do is just plug your TV in. You move into a new apartment. Oh, it's got a hookup. You just plug your TV and you get the channels. The ease of theft led some people, especially in rural areas, to run long cables from their homes to distribution boxes on nearby utility poles. So even if there wasn't a line in your house, you might run one yourself.
Mm. Back when you could plug it in yourself.
Later, it became necessary to obtain a cable box to access the signal. It was possible to find them in thrift stores for the most part, but many people simply retained the cable box indefinitely after they ended their subscription. So
that's crazy.
Like,
I guess that's why they make you give it back now, huh?
Yeah. And it's why they started making you give it back. They were like, you're ending your subscription? Give us the box back. And then you give the box back and you can't access it. But if you don't give the box back, you just stop paying the bill and you keep accessing it.
Hmm.
Soon, more complex methods were developed using a cable TV converter box, also known as a descrambler or a black box. This makes it possible to steal premium channels such as HBO and pay-per-view by decrypting all of the channels.
Sounds like a good deal.
You know what this reminded me of? I rewatched it last night. In the 80s, the Max Headroom thing. Somebody used, like, they still don't know who did it. This guy hated, like, HBO and shit. And so Max Headroom was big. Max Headroom was a show, kids. It was on before I was born, actually. That's how old it was. But it's like a guy in a Max Headroom mask, and the camera's like moving back and forth, and it's playing weird noises. And then like he starts saying weird shit, and then a lady is like hitting him in the bare ass with a fly swatter. And like, it's so fucking weird. And It's like a 3-minute thing. It was like on HBO. This guy figured out how to hack HBO. For like
and it was like I think it was like the greater Chicago area, which I kind of always thought yeah. like influenced Wayne's World, you know?
And like, it's crazy if you want to look it up. But they still have never found, and there was another person, Captain Midnight. Like, there was all these like hijackers and shit. Like
signal hijacking, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like people, this was, you know, people could like, with like pay phones, like play a certain like noise to like get in to like do shit through the phone freaking and shit. It's crazy. So this was around that time.
Yes, this is all part of that all part of that world of analog hacking, of actual physically hacking machines, not like typing on your computer software style.
Different kind of hacking, sure.
Different kind of hacking. A lively trade grew up around the converter boxes and the microprocessor chips used to unscramble premium services. Consumers could buy the boxes in electronics stores, at flea markets, through mail order, or on the street.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of people got them. I was like, my uncle knows a guy.
It's crazy there were so many of them. Like, they were like everywhere. Like, this was just going on all different places. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the converter boxes themselves are not illegal. The problem arises when they are equipped with specially programmed microchips available by mail order for $30 to $60 that are used to steal signals. So you could legally buy these converter boxes with or without a cable box yourself and just plug it into a coaxial line, to a cable line, and start stealing the signal.
Yeah.
But they had to be modified. So the trick was, I guess, finding somebody who could modify it for you or modifying it yourself. A spokesperson for Comcast said, quote, "The boxes are so in demand that drug gangs use addicts to steal the boxes. They rob our service techs at gunpoint, steal from homes, infiltrate our warehouses with short-term workers, and break into trucks. Then a chipper puts in a cheap computer chip configured for our system and sells it for $250, end quote.
Damn.
Yeah, so
racket.
That's pretty much,
yeah. It was like such a huge like business.
Yes.
It's so crazy. The way like media and content used to be dealt is so nuts. I guess it's not really related, but sort of, it's just kind of get the point across. Like, I remember I watched that documentary on Whitey Ford, like the mob guy in Boston. And one of his one of his rackets was just like dubbing tapes and selling like pornography.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like illegal copies of pornography, like, you know, not legal, but like bootlegs.
Illegal for him to be
just
selling.
Yeah, well, yeah, like bootleg stuff. And how just there was just bootleg media was just such a part of the underground market, you know, the black market. Yeah.
I found a Daily News article that had all kinds of anonymous stories about how people were using the illegal cable boxes to make money, selling tickets to their home theater, making copies of movies from pay-per-view and selling them.
Oh my God, sure.
One person had was babysitting. They invited the people were paying them to take care of their kids, and their kids were just sitting around watching pay-per-view all day. They were just watching television. Back when that was strange, back when that wasn't the norm, to just plop a kid in front of the TV, I guess.
Yeah, it's being in front of a screen for hours. Now they tell kids to do that. Go to school. Watch your laptop.
Philadelphia police recovered more than 60 converters in a 1991 series of drug raids, but this hardly made a dent in the local cable theft. So they were doing a drug raid and they accidentally, or so they were doing a drug raid and they just happened to come upon these hot boxes.
Right, it's just part of the things that are going on.
It's just another grift.
Part of illegal activity, sure.
Right, just something else they're selling. Up until this point, cable companies were reliant on their subscribers to snitch on each other if they wanted to catch cable thieves, and many actually did. Cable companies encouraged paying customers to help uncover cheats, blaming rising prices on the freeloaders.
Did the prices go down when they stopped these people?
No, but many people did turn in their neighbors. I found articles about people turning on their neighbors when they find out that they have a when they find out they have an illegal box, reporting them.
Do you get arrested, or do they just take it from you?
They file paperwork, and then you get a notice in the mail saying that you're being sued or you're being charged with theft. Yeah, and most people made restitution by paying the back bill. So they'd say you had this many channels for this many months. That is our premium package, and it costs $1,000 every 30 days. And they would hit you like that, yeah.
What a racket.
Most people stealing cable were more paranoid and harder to catch than that. You would figure. One woman speaking to the Daily News under the condition of anonymity confessed that her husband refused to let people into their home for fear of their illegal hookup being exposed. Friends, family, neighbors were all unwelcome.
I like how he'd rather have cheap cable than like anyone in his life.
I get it. I 100% get it.
Just like I'd rather cut off the world than pay my cable bill. I don't talk to my brother anymore, but at least we have cable.
Like, I don't pay for WrestleMania.
Hey, we got Mike Tyson, right? I mean, come on.
Family's cool, but have you seen Under Siege?
Have you seen Boys in the Hood? I wonder how many listeners had one as well.
I'm sure people will write in. I hope people write in and tell us. Leave us comments, send us emails.
Oh, Zito, I see the thing I gave you for Christmas is hanging over your shoulder.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I put it in the room where I spend the most time.
I appreciate that. It's a big picture of me, if everyone's wondering. It's autographed.
You're dressed as Napoleon. It's a painting you had Napoleon. Commissioned.
Oh man.
Keep on rocking the free world, Tony T. I didn't write it to anyone, so you can sell it on eBay if you want.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a weird map on the back in blacklight. I haven't gotten to explore it yet.
Maybe you'll find something.
Back then, the most common way to get caught was by accident. For instance, another elderly woman called Comcast about signal problems and revealed that her son-in-law had an illegal hookup.
You fucking you idiot.
You call Comcast, like, my hot box isn't working. Send a guy out to fix it. Probably.
Man, that's... You know her son-in-law was pissed.
So Comcast of Philadelphia ran a sting to catch owners of illegally modified converters during an HBO broadcast of a Michael Jackson special. Philadelphia Comcast offered free Michael Jackson t-shirts and jiggled its system so that only watchers with illegal descramblers could read the offer on their screens.
So they were like, I want call up. Hey, Comcast, I want my Michael Jackson t-shirt. The power of a t-shirt. Very, very powerful.
Very seductive.
For free.
Free shirt. Yeah. And they all ratted on themselves.
Yeah. When I was doing research for this, I found other places that did this too. So this must've been like a common cable sting
operation. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Phil Cocchetti, the system security chief, said, quote, "We aimed our stings at males at first. We used major fights in other sports and got practically no response. Then we decided to target youngsters and women with the Michael Jackson show and got 6,500 calls in one day," end quote. 6,500.
Let's get kids. Let's trick children.
I like that they were like, okay, who wants a Mike Tyson t-shirt? And like, nobody did. And then they were like, all right, who wants a Michael Jackson t-shirt? It's like, me.
We're going to trick little kids.
We're
going to
trick little kids. Michael Jackson video.
The company picked 20 cases from among the people who called in for their free gifts and sued for damages and collected an average of $2,300 from each one of them.
Damn. Jesus. Ooh, that's a lot back then. It's a lot now.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that's for cable TV all at once. They're getting charged for a couple of years. But that's chump change. Comcast found 6,500 people who were stealing, and they could only prosecute 20 of them. Huh. So they needed a better solution. Comcast got hold of one of the chips that people were integrating into these descramblers and took it to the company that made their cable boxes. That company, TOCOM, developed an electronic impulse that would seek out the illegal chips and zap them. Yeah, TOCOM were was the company that made the gold-faced
I've remote. Read that word a million times, but I don't think I've ever said it out loud or heard anyone say it out loud.
And the cable box had TOCOM on it or had TOCOM, a TOCOM label on it as well. And it was like a metal box that was faux wood, so it looked like a cabinet television, and it had a red digital readout on the face. So TOCOM developed this electronic pulse, and then Comcast sent a targeted signal, which they called the bullet, and it rendered illegal descramblers inoperative, but it did not interrupt the service to paying customers.
Win-win for Comcast.
It seems that way. It seems like they
got it all figured out.
All that Comcast had to do was sit back and wait. Soon, its switchboards were flooded with calls from subscribers complaining that their screens had mysteriously gone dark. More people just reporting themselves.
I can't believe they would call and be like, my cable's not working.
Angry subscribers were told to bring the malfunctioning boxes to the company HQ for repair. Officials were confident that they were rounding up only those who, from its perspective, had broken the law. Pirates were informed that they were being charged with theft and would receive a court summons or fine. The company kept the boxes and later introduced them as evidence in court.
Wow. Do you think they took them all down to that spot on Delaware Avenue?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. That's so
big
funny.
Line out the front door.
Big line.
Comcast says they uncovered 600 illegal boxes this way.
That's a pretty good way of figuring it out. And then even like striking the fear in people of like knowing this is going on, you know, it would discourage people from doing it.
Word gets
out. And they had like commercials and stuff against it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like how much propaganda can you, like, you know, Simpsons episodes or whatever, like it doesn't really discourage people.
I remember this one commercial. It was like a small child crying in front of his television, and the television was dark, and it was like maybe scrambled static, and it's a voiceover going, was it worth free television for your dad to go to jail?
Jail.
Something like that.
Do you remember the one? It was definitely a little later. I guess when people were like downloading movies, but it was supposed to be like a grip, like a grip and electrician from a movie set, and you're like, when you steal movies, you're not stealing from them, you're stealing from me. It's supposed to be like,
no, yeah. I don't remember that one.
Oh my God, yeah. And it was like some actor playing a grip.
I hope the grip was played by a real grip at least.
No way. It was like, I play a grip on TV.
Why couldn't he just be like, hey, I'm an actor and you're stealing from me? It had to be a grip.
Because no one cares about actors.
People want to, the grips are the blue collar of movie sets. They're the ones that the movie stars get to be mean to.
I also remember you wouldn't steal a car, would you?
You wouldn't steal a car.
In an effort to target the chips, bullets were fired before all event television. This led to many pirates leaving their cable boxes unplugged until the pay-per-view was about to start so that their chip wouldn't get fried.
Oh, my God. Dodge the bullet. That's crazy because people had to have known it happened, and enough people knew it, talked about it, and then said, you should do that.
This is what you do.
And then someone came up with that solution. What if we all unplug it? Like, I don't know. It's like new technology. It's crazy that people were figuring this out on the fly. Like, Comcast is doing this. People are avoiding it. They're like, it's just funny.
But Comcast still wasn't ready to give up the game. So they outfitted a fleet of vans with a device they nicknamed the Sniffer. It was designed to locate cable signal spillage that would result from a chipped box.
That's crazy. It's crazy they were... Yeah. This technology is so outdated and so advanced.
At the time, it's super duper advanced. It's cassette futurism.
Sure.
It's like the 80s and 90s version of like technology, you know? He's got a big NASA van that he's got to like drive around to find a radio signal, a cable signal.
Yeah, that's so nuts.
It is. It's pretty crazy. Investigators would drive around to popular bars and loud house parties during live televised events like boxing or concerts or WrestleMania. And if the sniffer managed to find a signal, technicians would send targeted bullets to the suspected address.
That's crazy.
That's so nuts, yeah.
And one of the articles I found from the Daily News described the sniffer as a big box that would sit in the front of the van, I guess in like a radar detector, and it would make a slow or it would make a low warbling sound, and then when it found a signal, when it locked onto something, it would get more and more intense, kind of like a metal detector.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
That's really crazy.
Yeah, so they could narrow it down pretty close, you know.
Can you imagine the person who figured that out? That's wow.
Once word got out, Comcast offered amnesty to anyone who would turn their chipped boxes in. Some customers took them up on their offer, many claiming that they didn't know they had done anything illegal.
I didn't know you couldn't do that.
I didn't know how to do that. Everyone else is doing it.
What? It's like that one day a year where the library, you don't have fines if you return the book. They're like, we know you have the book. Just bring it back. Just, we don't even care what you did with it. We know you didn't finish it. Just bring it in.
I had read that another upside of the chipped box was that you could put multiple boxes in your home with one of these by connecting them all to the initial box, which is not something you could do with regular service. Oh. So on top of getting every channel, you could have cable in every room.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There was a lot of incentive to breaking the rules.
Oh, that's so crazy. I forgot that, like, if you had a cable box, it wasn't like your whole house had, like, you had more than one TV. Although I guess back then a lot of people only had like one television or one screen, if you will.
In my house, we had one television in the living room until I was like in high school. And we got cable right before I went to high school. And the downstairs television was cable TV. And then we all had like 12 inchers in our room.
Mm. Do you guys have a floor model?
Yeah, in the first floor, yeah, it was like a big cabinet TV. My brother and I ruined the speakers on either side of it by putting our feet through them.
My wife Joanna told me how her and her brother put magnets on the screen when they were kids.
Children are the worst.
We were just saying we have a TV that we were. I keep saying our daughter's going to destroy it someday. We should just accept that now. How can you not want to throw something at it? Those stupid wiggles. Take that. Get out of my face, Emma.
Fruit salad isn't that yummy.
Fruit salad. How do you even know that, Bierman? How do you know that song?
I'm familiar with the Wiggles.
You know their discography? Okay, all right.
I like their early, their punk shit. When they were a punk band, their early stuff.
When they were avant-garde, yeah. They didn't care as much about the money then.
They sold out the Wiggles.
They sold out.
I like their aesthetic.
The purple turtlenecks.
They make it look good. They pull it off.
Whatever they wear.
They all wear different outfits. Well, they have different colors. I watch it all the time with my daughter, so I don't get me started. They're the best kids show. I have to say that. They're my favorite kids show.
In a world where you can get everything, you have to watch The Wiggles. But in a world where you could be like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't afford cable, you guys could just like stick to the Big Bird. You could have just one option.
You know, honestly, though, like, but you only had one or two options, but the options were like solid, you know?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers put it on. You know, now it's like there's so many kids shows that are just insane, and they're like not insane fun, like horrible.
They're just loud and trying to keep people's attention.
Yeah, and you have to dig through a lot of crap before you find something good, like the Wiggles. hot potato.
Appreciate the Wiggles even
yeah,
more.
Yeah, it does. It really does. When we like try something else, I'm like, this is horrible. Let's put the Wiggles back on. Hot potato's a banger. I can't deny it.
Eventually, the technology caught up with the bullet. Nuts and Bolts magazine, an 80,000 circulation monthly for ham radio and electronic enthusiasts, promised a solution to stuff the sniffer.
Really? Are you allowed to publish something like that?
Yeah. They were selling these black boxes through the mail because they're not, again, they're not inherently illegal. They're just like...
It's what you do with them.
It's art. It's a piece of art.
It's just a component.
Tobacco use only.
This is from Nuts and Bolts magazine. Quote, protect yourself from the de-scrambler detection with one of our snooper stoppers and stop the bullet. End quote.
Did it work?
The company made kits for up to $169 for anyone willing to assemble the 150 components.
150. Oh.
Wouldn't you just rather pay for your cable than deal with that?
I gotta build a Lego now.
You know how long it's gonna take to put that together? You can't even look it up on the internet. You can't even look it up.
Super nerds could do it, especially back then.
Yeah, uber nerds.
You had to be taught it by like a wizard or something. There's no way you could just like come across this information.
Yeah. But I guess if you could do it, you could make them for people and sell them, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's smart. The,
I don't know. Whatever, yeah. Whatever.
I guess the other thing that I read, and a lot of people who had gotten busted for selling these boxes and then the snooper stoppers and outfitting you like this, was like from the Simpsons episode, a cable guy who's trying to get paid on the side. You know, an installation technician or somebody who's coming to service a problem in your neighborhood.
Yes, that documentary, Cable Guy.
As we mentioned before. And so that was the guy you were relying on to do this, you know. So he was getting paid.
He was doing
the old twofer. He was getting paid by the cable company, and he was getting paid by the customers to get around the cable company.
That's the way to do it.
Not for nothing, that's what's up. what a hustle.
Working both sides.
Yeah.
Cable providers built stronger protection against theft into new digital cable systems that were deployed in the late 90s as part of the changeover to the new digital HDTV standard. In most modern digital cable systems, the signals are encrypted, so cases of people obtaining illegal services are less common. Today, if you want to steal TV, you have to share your streaming passwords with friends and family.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
They're going to try and put the kibosh on that, too.
Oh, yeah. But they used to encourage it.
They did. That was because that was the benefit of cable cutting. You could share these plans with your family. But now I guess post lockdown, everyone's streaming nonstop. Everyone's looking to escape their miserable
lives,
cohabitations.
Sure.
by diving deep into the worlds of Lord of the Rings. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know that.
My life's great.
My life's great. Everything's peachy keen over here.
Everything. I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
You have a problem. This was like a short-lived thing, I guess, then. It was like it was just like a 90s thing. It's a 90s thing. Don't have a cow, man.
Yeah, switching over to digital kind of solved this problem. That's why there's no chips or hot boxes anymore.
And, like, why were they the only people who ever talk about this?
Yeah, it's a blip.
It's a blip.
It's a moment in time. And I guess Philadelphia was such a huge location for this because Comcast was headquartered here. An up-and-coming cable provider, they had their headquarters in Philadelphia. And so their factories were here, their trucks were here, their technicians were getting trained here.
Yeah.
And their hot boxes were
here. And if there's a way to steal shit, Philadelphians will figure it out. This is a thing that doesn't exist anymore, but it was huge, and it was great.
A market that it was great.
It was great.
It was.
What a time to be alive. Well, we have so much. When I was a kid, I dreamed of having access to content like I do now. I would go to Blockbuster.
Sure,
and I'd
want
to buy all the DVDs, and I'd go to Tower, and I'd want to have all the CDs. And like now, you literally have
access.
How
much money we spent on DVDs and things like that? DVDs and CDs. We spent all our money on that shit.
Oh my God! Blockbusters would sell you the second run DVDs that had been like rented and worn into the ground. For $20, and it's like, oh, they're only $20.
Yeah, what a steal! What a great deal!
Yeah.
And now I turn on any number of streaming networks, and they're at Christmas time. They're all throwing the same exact Christmas movies at me. You can't escape them.
You know what's crazy too? I mean, I mentioned it earlier. It took a year for these movies to come out, like on streaming or not streaming, on pay per view or on a VHS or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, saw a movie at the movie theater, and like, I hope to catch that again next year.
It was definitely more rare. It was definitely. Yeah.
I remember when they called it day and date. Day and date release, but it was like a thing, and they were testing the waters with it. Now it's like you don't even go to the movies anymore. Just give it.
I know the Black Panther movie came out a few months ago, and it's coming to streaming on Disney this week. And it's like I just knew it would be only a matter of, like, when you really look at it, it's like a matter of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and it's on streaming. So,
yeah, why go to the movies?
Why go to the movies?
Didn't you? How come you two don't direct movies anymore?
Because people steal movies.
We put out our first movie. I think how many people stole it on the.
We went on Pirate Bay. We went on Pirate Bay, and 48,000 people were seeding it. Wow. They had already downloaded it, and they were seeding the torrent.
They were sharing it.
One of those people had paid for the movie, had given us $1 for the movie.
Yeah, we would have
$1 for the movie.
We would have been making. Who cares about t-shirts? We make horror movies. Our lives would be different.
Fuck those fat cats.
So that's
all right. Steal our movies. It's fine.
Chomping on
t-shirts.
Cigars. Zito lit a cigarette with $1,000 bill. I saw him do
you
it.
You can't torrent a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You try as hard as you can, as hard as you like, but you can't torrent a t-shirt.
Wouldn't download a t-shirt.
All we did was just spend our entire life, both of our life savings, on it. and then it ruined our lives. What a good one.
Set us back financially for years.
Ugh. Go Eagles. go Philadelphia Green football team.
I heard a kid on the internet call them the Angry Pigeons. Go Angry Pigeons.
I'll take it.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about the chip and why you shouldn't steal media. Please check out our website, www.southphillyknee.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Visit us at 1507 East Passyunk Avenue in beautiful South Philly, Thursday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. Check us out on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok. We're at South Philly Knee everywhere. Follow along and join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. Did you have a hot box? Did you call it the chip? Are you from somewhere else where they called it something different? Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, get boosted, and stay tuned.